little behind this morning. I don't know. I got out of the routine, and it don't take me much, Pat, to get out of the routine. Well, if you're glad to be here in Grace Walk, say amen.
Amen.
I'm glad to be back. Valerie and I took a little trip last weekend. Glad to be back home and glad to be back here with you. And I appreciate Brother Albert and his willingness to fill in. And as Brother Chris said, you know, we have a big old hole in our church family right now. Anita passed away. And of course, she was, she sat over here for so many years until she moved up to Oklahoma. And I'm glad that she could do that because she enjoyed that time with her family. But we will miss her. And along those lines, Anita was a prayer warrior. And everybody in here could probably stand up and testify for 10 minutes about stories about Anita blessing them. And I certainly have mine, especially the first 10 years we were here, when she was such a big blessing to us on the phone, and even when you didn't hear from her, you knew she was praying for you. You just knew it. And so that's going to make a call for her. You know, we need more people in God's family to be like that. Yeah. And I know many of us could probably notch that up a bit. I know I could. And it's a blessing to have people like that around. And let me tell you, she received the blessing as well. She received the blessing from being a blessing, and that's how those things go. But we need to be prayer warriors. God wants us to communicate with Him, and He wants us to read after His Word so we can talk to each other. And that's what we need to be good about doing. If you have your Bible this morning, turn over to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. We started chapter 10 a couple weeks ago, and it's a blessing in the sense that a main principle of Christianity is touched on, and that is this right here. When you follow the Lord, whether it's to follow Him in salvation, accept the call to be saved and be converted, or whether it's later in your Christian life and you're trying to do what He wants you to do, this is what is vital to be done. Hearing Him, believing Him, and following Him. We talked about the sheepfold two weeks ago. How back in those days there would be many shepherds in a community, and at night the principle was the habit of these guys would run all their individual sheep into a corral, the sheep corral, the sheepfold, and then there would be a watchman there who would stay in the doorway overnight, and the shepherd could go back home. And then in the morning, he would come to the sheepfold and he would call for his sheep. Now that just amazes me. That just amazes me. So we got 500 sheep in this sheepfold, and this one gentleman coming from town to get his 100 sheep, all he has to do is call for them and they know his voice. Now, one aspect of sheep is that they're very, not being mean here, but you can read about them yourself. They're very dumb animals. They don't know how to reason. But I tell you what, they know how to listen. And listening is an important concept also for the child of God. These people here in John chapter 10, they couldn't listen. They heard the words of Jesus, but it didn't go any farther past their eardrum. Hearing and then believing. It's important to believe what you hear. And then when you believe what you hear, you follow. How simple this is, and yet how critical it is to be done. Jesus said He was the door into the sheepfold. The sheepfold represented the nation of Israel and all their thousands of rules and all their legalistic system and all their Judaism. And Jesus told people that he was the door into the sheepfold so they could get out of that. He was the doorway. And he said he was the door of the sheep as well. If you remember, the blind man had been excommunicated from the temple, from the synagogue. Had nowhere to go, excommunicated from his family. And Jesus told him, I'm the door of the sheep. You can get out from that mess by coming to me. And then later he says, in fact, it's in verse number 9, he just said the door. He's the door for both Jews and he's the door for both Gentiles. And then he tells them he's the good shepherd. Verse number 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The one who gave his life for the church, for those who would be in the church at one point in their life, is the good shepherd. He's also the great shepherd. Hebrews 13, verse 20 says, Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. And then in the end times, he's called the chief shepherd. 1 Peter 5, 4 says, And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So if he's the shepherd, we're the sheep. And we don't like to think of ourselves and to be compared to dumb animals, do we? But one thing is for sure, we have to be just like the sheep and listen to the shepherd. Now look in verse number 19. It says, There was a division, therefore, among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath the devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Now, others have observed the healing of this blind man, and they're simply saying he can't be a madman. He can't be a man that has a devil or a demon. His words are sober, and they're full of wisdom. They're serious. They're godly. And so there was a division among the people between those that wouldn't believe and those that did believe. The issue is still the same today. When God's man or when God's woman gives the gospel to his or her friends or to his or her class, there'll be some that will receive and some that will not. It always causes a division. And simply, we got to come to the point where either the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world and it's all real, He's the Son of God, or He's a madman. Now, which will it be? Last week when I finished the lesson, I mentioned that this chapter reminds me of a song, I Find It All in Thee. And the child of God has the most awesome responsibility to remember that as he or she grows from day to day, that everything that we need in our life as a child of God to be pleased by him and to serve him is found in the person of Jesus Christ. Now we're going to read quite a few verses together. Start with me in verse number 22. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple of Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from the Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. And Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said you are gods'? If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, 'Thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God'? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, "John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true." And many believed on him there. Now, verse 22 says that it's winter. This is at the Feast of the Dedication, which is, they say, about 2.5 months after the Feast of Tabernacles. And it was around December. And so it was probably cold. But the point is, in the wintertime, the harvest is over, right? The harvest takes place in the fall. And in the wintertime, it's over. And what's so sad about this, there's two things sad about this chapter. The first one is this right here, that it's winter. And the call of Christ to the Jews is over. They have rejected him for the last time. Now, they will still talk to him, but he is no longer going to them primarily. He will not make another public call. It's too late. Now, the Bible says there in that first verse, or in that verse number 23, that Jesus walked in the temple of Solomon's porch. Now, they tell us that outside of the temple, there was a porch called Solomon's porch, and it was the porch where the Gentiles were supposed to go. The Gentiles were not allowed inside. They had to stay on the porch. And so Jesus is on the porch designed for the Gentiles, and the Jews come up, and they still want to fight. They still want to tell him that he's not God. That's why verse 24 says, "They came around him and said unto him, 'How long dost thou make us doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly.'" Well, I just have to laugh when I read that verse. He's done nothing but tell them, Brother Stacy. He's done nothing but tell them that he is the Son of God and the Savior of the world and the Messiah that they've been waiting on all this time, and they don't believe him. Well, how long are you going to make us doubt? If you be the Christ, tell us plainly. That's all he's done. He's made his identity very clear, and those who really hear him, those who really believe him, are his sheep. Remember back in chapter 1, Andrew told his brother, "We have found the Messiah." Nathanael recognized him and said, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." And you remember the Samaritan woman in chapter 4. She realized he was the Son of God and went and told the men in the town, and they came out and spent some time with the Lord. And then they said, "Now we believe, not because of the woman saying, but because we've talked to him ourselves. We've conversed with him ourselves, and he's the real deal." The blind man, after he was healed of his blindness, said, "This is the Son of God." And here are these religious leaders and all their subtle critical questions are blaming him for them not knowing the truth. And verse 25 continues, "Jesus answered them, 'I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you.'" They're not hearing. And if they're hearing, they're not believing. And that's pretty critical for us to do, is hear and believe. And Jesus has told them from the get-go, his works bear witness that he's the Son of God. He fulfilled all the requirements. He was born in the line of David. He was introduced by John the Baptist. No man taught as he taught. You remember what the men on the road to Emmaus said after they talked to the risen Lord and they didn't know it was him. Our hearts burned within us as we talked to him. No man could do that. No man could convict him of sin. And when John the Baptist sent his disciples to find out whether Jesus was the Messiah or not, or whether they should keep looking for another, Jesus told those people to go back and tell John the Baptist the things that they had seen. And when they do that, he would know that he had all the credentials of the Messiah. Now, everybody knows this, but these stinking self-righteous Jews, caught up in their religious system, and they wouldn't believe. Now, that's the negative side of this whole thing. He's told them all of it. You believe not, in verse 26, because you are not of my sheep. You're not listening. You don't have an ear to listen, and therefore you can't believe, and that's negative. But there's also a positive. Look in verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, that's an amazing statement. I read one commentator that said, sheep are so distinctly in tune to their shepherd's voice. And that if a shepherd has 100 sheep and there's a total of 500 in the pen, and he walks up, you can know exactly that he's got 100 sheep, because 100 sheep will find their way to the door and follow their shepherd. Isn't that amazing? Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. Oh, that's a wonderful statement. Aren't you glad the Lord knows us? I don't know myself. Half the time I can't figure out what I'm thinking. And Valerie can't either. You know, I don't know what I'm talking about. But Jesus knows me and he loves me and he wants me to follow him. He wants me to be his sheep. He says, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Now look at this. This is also a great sentence. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. That's a great concept. They tell us that one shepherd could take as many as several thousand sheep. And everything would be fine as long as the sheep listened to his voice. He knew where to go. He knew how to be a good shepherd and keep them out of danger. But if any of those sheep, say two sheep, ran off and got off to themselves and a wolf came and got one of them, the sheep are so dumb that the sheep that's left doesn't know even enough to get back to the herd. He's just going to be the second course for the wolf. But as long as the sheep follow the voice of their shepherd, they're okay because he's going to protect them. And Jesus is making that analogy from the shepherd to the sheep, from him to us. Great confidence that he is the one that we need to follow. And he wants us to follow him in everything that we do. And he says, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. How long's never, Beverly? Always. Great answer. That's exactly right. Now, there's a part to verse 27 that is a little complicated. It's kind of a tough verse in a sense. It's kind of a tough verse because Lord says that his sheep will follow him and he'll have them forever and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. But at times, you do know, at times we all as human beings step away from the Lord. Isn't that right? Sure we do. We're human. And sometimes we may backslide, but I love Brother Chris's illustration of the forward progression. Heard it a long time ago. Can't get it out of my mind because that's what I do. In the Christian life, there should be a forward progression. So if Dwayne is taking two steps forward and occasionally takes another step back because I start listening to the flesh, and then I take another step forward, and then two more steps forward, and then another step back. It shows a progression in my Christian life. And that's what we need to look at. Now, you look at some folks' life, and that's not our job, by the way. We do not judge anybody. But Jesus is very plain about this all throughout the Scriptures. If you are His, you are following Him. Whew, that's tough. If you are His, you are following Him. So we know we can backslide. We can step away from the Lord. But if we are His, we're coming back to Him. We're coming back to Him at some point. What's that song that Mark Lowry sings, Valerie? And although I've never been out of his will, there have been times I've been out of his will, I've never been out of his care. That describes the shepherd, always caring for us. It's just a wonderful, wonderful thought. Gotta watch my time here. And it continues in verse 31, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him, and Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? And the Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Now, this thing's for sure. In that day, everybody who heard Jesus in his ministry understood that he made himself God. Everybody understood that. Everybody heard that. And everybody understood that except for these who would not see. There was no way they could deny his miracles. He healed people by the thousands. There was no way to deny the evidence. I mean, we're living on this side of history, and we're looking back, reading these stories, and, you know, I sort of understand that. But they were living there. They were living during that time, and they saw all these wonderful things that happened, and they couldn't deny it. And in verse 34, Jesus answered them, is not written in your law, I said, you are gods? Now this word gods with a small g is only used a couple of times in the scriptures. And one of those times was back in the book of Exodus when Moses was objecting to being a mouthpiece for God, a representative for God. And God told him, look, you can do this thing. I'll put words in your mouth. And then later he said, Aaron will be the spokesman for you. And back then when you were a representative of a leader, a president or a king, they often call it, or like if in religious circles, if you were a representative of God, just like Moses was, he would be called a god. It's not a reference to being an actual god. I wrote down a verse where it's used. I think it was Psalms 82, verse 6. In fact, it's a direct reference to this verse. I have said you are gods and all of you are children of the Most High. And here Jesus is saying, look, even in your history, even in your written work, we have this verse here where the representative of God, the child of God, is called a God, a small letter G God, okay? And so Jesus is saying, look, if you call somebody that who's a representative, and here I am telling you I am the Son of God, I am sent by God, I am sanctified and set apart by God my Father to be here as the Messiah, then how can you justify what you're saying? When Moses went before Pharaoh, that's what God told him. He says, and he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. That was God talking to Moses about Aaron's part in all this. Aaron would be instead of a mouth to Moses, and Moses would be instead of God to Aaron. Now, Moses wasn't God, but he was a representative of God, and God talked to him, okay? And so Jesus is saying, look, you think this and you say this about other people, but I'm actually the Son of God. He says in verse 36, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God. He says, you people are not making any sense. You're making your own rules up. You're not following the lines of logic in your own thinking. It says in verse 37, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. See, Jesus was just telling these Jews that they're sitting in judgment of him and their logic doesn't even hold to make sense. But why would it? They're not believing and they're not hearing the Son of God. And then verse 39 says, therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. It's a wonderful verse 41. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, But all things that John spake of this man were true, and many believed on him there. At least the disciples, the students of John the Baptist in that area, saw that it was Jesus, and they believed in him. Now, just because it's 2022, and here we are on this side of history, let's not forget that the same principle applies to the child of God today that it applied to that day. We need to always hear him when he talks to us. We need to believe what he says. It's so easy. With all of our background in technology and all of our background, mankind has done so much in science and they've learned so much in science. It's so easy to hear or to read something in the Word of God, and you may not say it verbally, but in the back of your mind, it's so easy to think, well, that doesn't apply today, does it? Oh, it sure does. He wants us to see it, he wants us to believe it, and he wants us to follow him. And we're so comfortable with God in his good mercies and his grace and his ever-loving kindness. We're so comfortable with that as a child of God, and we should be. But we don't need to ever forget that he wants us to follow him. He wants to be faithful in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you bow your head in prayer with me? Father, we thank you for this great example of the